Good afternoon, everyone. This is Whitney with the Conference for Women. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon for four key factors in a win-win negotiation, how to negotiate and not just make demands. So if you are following along on Twitter, I would encourage you to use our handles and hashtag at MassWomen, at 10Women, or at TexasWomen, depending on what state you're in. Without further ado, I want to introduce our presenters today. Kathy Kinney is best known for her iconic role as Mimi on the ABC hit TV series, The Drew Carey Show. She's also appeared in many movies and dozens of TV shows, including Seinfeld, Whose Line Is It Anyway?, My Name is Earl, and The Secret Life of the American Teenager. Along with her friend and co-presenter today, Cindy Ratliff, she's the co-author of two books, Queen of Your Own Life, The Grown-Up Women's Guide to Claiming Happiness and Getting the Life You Deserve, and Queenism, 101 Jolts of Inspiration. You can find her on Twitter at Queen of Own Life or at Mrs. P Storytime. And Cindy was named to the Forbes 20 Best Branded Women on Twitter list, and Forbes Women has called her one of the most influential women, on entrepreneurship. Her firm, Brand New Brand You, specializes in digital messaging and content marketing through social media. And of course, Cindy co-authored two best-selling books on happiness and boundaries, Queen of Your Own Life, and the newly released Queenism with Kathy Kinney. You can find Cindy on Twitter at Brand You. So Kathy and Cindy, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. We're happy to be here.
I'll leave the floor open to you and go ahead and take it away.
Thank you so much. This is Kathy. And I guess, you know, the thing that you need to know is that Cindy and I have been friends for so long that we don't even remember how long we've been friends. Or probably we remember, we just don't want to say that how many decades it's been. But I can say that it's great to have a friend of that tall order. And in the beginning, we were talking about this negotiation, because negotiation is something that you need in business and in life. And really, the tools are pretty much the same thing. And so we're kind of thinking the key here is successful negotiations start with valuing and accepting your own self-worth. Now, I think a confession for me is in order, that I think that my self-esteem used to be below sea level. I just didn't believe that anything, any kind of success, that I was worthy of any of that. And the truth is that the most difficult period that I had in my life was when I was on the Drew Carey Show, accepting that kind of success. And it really helped to have a friend like Cindy who could say, no, you really do deserve this. And it's that kind of world where you really do get what you give. So if you're out in the world and you're believing that, well, I'm just not worthy of this, then a lot of times that kind of comes true. Whereas we do something we call act as if. I act as if I'm really think that I'm fantastic, that I'm beautiful and sexy and stylish and smart until it becomes the truth for me. And that's how I approach every situation. And the truth is now I am beautiful, sexy, worthy, smart, goddess-like. I'm a queen. I'm the queen of my own life. And what you need to do is kind of walk past your fear. I read this the other day, and I think it's the truth. Everything that I want is on the other side of fear. And just walking through your fear, you find what you need. And so Cindy and I were thinking that we were going to just tag team this. So I'm going to tag Cindy right now and let her go.
You know, when you understand your self-worth, when you really identify it and believe it, even if you have to act as if, like Kathy said, It helps you not take things personally. And in negotiation, the most important thing you can do is not take things personally. Each side in a negotiation is asking for what they need, and you are going back and forth and back and forth until you get to the place where you can both agree and walk away from the negotiation feeling like everybody wins. So I'm going to go on to step two, which is keep the end goal in mind. And keeping the end goal in mind means getting really crystal clear about your boundaries in your own mind, so that you can negotiate and communicate with others and let them know what you need. Now, they're going to tell you what they need, but you have to be clear about what it is that you need. In other words, when you can identify what's acceptable to you and what is not, you're going to develop one of the best negotiating skills around, the goal of leaving everybody feeling like they win. Here's an example of something that happened to me recently. A nonprofit organization called me and they wanted to work with me, and but they didn't have any budget at all. So they were trying to negotiate my time and help me understand that they were a worthy organization and that I should donate my time to them. Now, sometimes I might choose to do that, but at this moment, I have a full client load, a full roster of people who are paying me for their time, and they deserve my time and attention to help them succeed. So I had to say to the nonprofit, I am unable to work with you at this time for free, however worthy your cause is, because by saying yes to you, I will be saying no to someone else. So I was able to be crystal clear about my needs in terms of time. They were able to be crystal clear about their needs in terms of time. And we agreed to talk after the new year when I'm not so busy to see if there maybe is another way in which I can work with them. So we've negotiated something, even though at first glance it might seem like nobody won, but in fact everybody won because we both understand each other's needs.
It's funny because in Hollywood, I am used to rejection all the time. Each audition that I go to, I have to go there with the thought in mind that I'm going to do the absolute best I can. I'm going to get out of my own way, let go of my idea of I'm not funny, any fears that I have about coming to the audition, get out of my own way, do the audition, and then it's out of my hands. 9 times out of 10, I don't get the job. I see the same women at every audition, and we all go, well, good luck, because we know that whoever gets it is going to be good. But walking through that fear to get to the other side so I can be rejected is something that I practice. And that's the thing about not taking it so personally. You know, once my ego's out of the way, life doesn't hurt at all. You know, I mean, so many times I've had friends say, oh, I know they don't like me. Look at the look on their face. I'm like, they stepped on a nail. I mean, you know, 9 times out of 10, what is going on with other people has nothing to do with you. And so I really tried to get out of my way. And one of the great tools that helps me in life with taking care of myself is something that Cindy and I call bookending. I've had conversations. This year I had to let go of my manager of 27 years. That was a difficult thing because he did not want me to leave. But so what I do is I bookend it. I call Cindy and I say, I need to make this phone call. Here's what I'm going to say. How does it sound to you? And she'll say, well, you know, you might want to be stronger about this or less angry about that. And I go, okay, I'm going to make the call. I make the call. And I say what I have to say, and then I call her back, and I give her the blow-by-blow, and I say, what do you think? Did I come across like a knothead, or, you know, did I come across as an intelligent woman with rational reasons? And then she backs me up and lets me know. And here's the important thing, and I'm going to let Cindy talk about how that works for her in business, because it's the exact same tool, but it helps me that Cindy is an agenda-free friend. She likes me whether I go insane or I ever found dancing naked on Times Square or just wanting to stay home and read my book all the time. She loves me no matter what, and she only wants the best for me. Those are the kind of friends that I seek out, and I know that in business, those are the kind of colleagues that you need to talk with.
It's true. Surrounding yourself with these kinds of agenda-free friends or colleagues in the workplace is, again, a tremendous tool in negotiation. I have a colleague that we have an agreement that we do tone checks with one another. When we have to have a particularly difficult conversation in a business setting, we call each other up, just like Kathy and I do in a personal setting. And I say, here's what I really want to say to this client or this employer or this contract negotiation lawyer. I want to say X, Y, and Z. And then I say to Mary, can you tone check that for me? Do I sound professional? Do I sound too angry? Am I putting too much emotion in it? Am I missing a point because I'm letting myself get emotionally involved with whether or not they are respecting me? And so she does a tone check, and she says to me, stick to the facts. Here's where you're getting too emotional. Here's where you might be veering off track. And then I'll say, thanks so much, and I'll hang up, and I'll revise, and then I'll call her back, and I'll retell her the story that I'm about to tell to the client. And she'll say, spot on. You've done a great job of managing exactly what you want to say and clearly, being able to communicate it. And then I'll make the call, have the difficult conversation, hang up, and then here's the bookend part. I'll call Mary back, and I'll tell her what we've talked about, and she'll let me know whether there's anything I have to clean up or not. Was I as clear as I meant to be? Is it all good, or is there any, you know, point on the exclamation mark that I need to make? And so that's called bookending. Practicing what you're going to say, saying it, calling your agenda-free colleague back, and making sure that you've wrapped up everything and left nothing loose ends.
And here's why. Because in the beginning, when you're learning to take care of yourself, setting boundaries, it's very uncomfortable. And in that uncomfortable, it feels like you're doing something wrong. But it's not. You're just breaking old habits, learning new, and it's really important to have someone, again, agenda-free, which I know in business isn't as easy to find, but, you know, your compass inside becomes very strong about who's really got your best interests at mind and who doesn't. But learning to take care of yourself, it just takes practice. And in the end, it's really kind of fun because you feel so good about yourself. And so we're thinking that once you have your self-worth in your hand and you're admiring yourself and you've got your goal in mind and you've got someone lined up to bookend with so that you can set your boundaries and say what you need to say, that you're ready to be flexible, flexible in your negotiations. And here's how that works.
So I like this, Cindy. I like to say that we need a flexibility strategy that includes the phrase yes and. So you actively listen to what the other person needs, and then you say yes and in your head, and you add information. Here's an example. An author calls me and wants to launch a big book. So she knew my track record. She wanted to work with me and asked me what my fee was. I told her I charged $15,000 for a minimum 3-month contract, and here's what you get for it. Now, she told me she couldn't manage that in her budget, but she really wanted to work with me. So here's where the negotiation starts. She asked me if there was something I could offer her for what she had to pay, and she had $7,500 budgeted. So that's the start of our negotiation. Now, I don't like to do smaller packages for people because I feel like they don't get the same results if they hire me for less. But I really wanted to work with this woman, so I decided to be flexible. I went over my list of everything I believe needs to be done in order to create a successful launch, and I divided the list into things I had to do and things she could do herself if she were simply told how to do them and guided by me. So I went back to her and I said, all right, for your $7,500 budget, here's a list of everything that must be done. This is the part that has to be done by me in order for it to be successful, and this is the part that could be done by you. If you are willing to do those things yourself, we can put together that whole $15,000 launch that I believe is really necessary to make your book a success. She was so motivated and so willing and wanting to work with me that she said, I will do everything on my half of the list if you will take this contract for the $7,500 and do everything on your part and mentor me through my part. So we came to an arrangement where I was happy to accept that contract. She was happy to pay for that contract. She agreed to do the part that I would not be doing because she couldn't pay me my full fee. And I agreed to mentor her through it. We both won. And the result was she launched her book. She had a bestseller. She's now so successful with that book that she's hired me for an additional contract. So she's able to continue working with me, and we both win. But here's the important part. She gained respect for me because I stood up for what I needed, and I stood up for her project by telling her what she needed, and now she understands what goes into a successful campaign, and we're both very, very happy. So by being flexible about the way I could deliver that contract, I was able to rescue a contract, support an author, and create a win-win for each of us.
When you believe in your own worth and your own skills, your own experience, you're coming from a great place of deservability. When you learn to set boundaries, as Cindy just said, in business and in personal life, when people know that you say yes, you mean yes, and no, you mean no, they gain respect from you and for you, and they also, it makes everyone comfortable. If you're the kind of person who goes, oh yes, I will walk your dog 17 times tomorrow, and you really don't want to, and it puts a huge time crunch on you, and then you have resentment, you hate the dog, you hate your friend, it's not a good situation. If you're someone who's really comfortable saying, I can walk the dog two times at this time and this time, you become very clear with your boundary. Your friend will go, oh, okay. Now, if someone resents your ability to say yes and mean yes and no and mean no, you know, they might not be that good of a friend, which is something to think about. But it's all about practice. Practice. We believe in the practice of setting boundaries and negotiation. Again, it's really not that much different in business or in your personal life. But this could sound like I'm deviating from what the topic here. But the thing that I love about my boyfriend is that he knows right from wrong. I find that so sexy. And in this town that I work in, I want to work with people who are honest, who I respect, whose word I trust. Again, rare, but it's there. I want to have that kind of reputation, and those are the people that I want in my life as friends and to work with. So practicing that, learning that, I mean, we're all good women, or men, if you're there. We're all good, but learning the tools of how to value ourselves and be flexible but keep that end goal in mind is probably one of the most important things I think you'll learn in life.
You know, most of negotiation is about setting boundaries. And Kathy and I use this personal formula for setting boundaries. And we ask ourselves three questions. And those questions are, am I able to do this? Am I willing to do this? And do I want to do this? And we make sure in every negotiation, both personal and business, that we know the answers to those before we make a decision. And then, as Kathy said, when we say yes, we mean yes, and when we say no, we mean no. And people have come to trust that we're as good as our word. So those are our big four in successful negotiations. And we're here now to take any questions that you might have, Whitney.
Yes, we're here to take questions.
Yes, we are.
Well, Kathy, I wanted to start with something that you first touched on, which was your confidence at one point was below the sea level. And you said, look, I had a friend who told me that I deserved the success I was experiencing, and that you also decided I'm going to walk past my fear and just act as if. Mm-hmm. What else would you share with the listeners that allowed you to bring your confidence above that sea level?
I think that, you know, I'm from the Midwest. Both Cindy and I are from Wisconsin, and we have this saying that I'm going to clean up for you, but it's you have to poop or get off the pot about how you feel about yourself. And I think for women, it comes either when, if you're lucky, it happens when you're young, or it takes its toll at any time. You could be on your deathbed and go, oh, I love myself. Ah, you're dead. I had to poop or get off the pot about how I felt about myself. I just thought I was always comparing myself to what I saw on TV or magazines. I had a manager one time tell me, well, what do you want to do? You'd done it all. You know, I had done one thing. Because I didn't think that I was the norm. And the truth is that now I believe myself to be a great representation of every woman. And the things that I thought were not acceptable, you know, I'm heavy, I'm extremely weirdly blonde and blue-eyed, and I'm freckled, and I am from the Midwest, and I do have a Midwestern accent most of the time. Those are the things that I embrace about myself now. I feel so gloriously happy to be a part of the world, to share the message that I figured out, which is that we're all more alike than different, everyone. It doesn't matter where you're from or how old you are, how heavy, how thin, how large your breasts, how slim your hips, we're all more alike than different, and we're all just trying to be the best people that we can be. So I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, and it's actually a great segue into a question that we have for Cindy. So, Kathy, you speak about valuing and accepting your own self-worth. And, Cindy, you talked about how that really leads you into a successful negotiation. You said, first, determine what is acceptable to you and what is not. What are questions that we could ask ourselves in order to help determine what is acceptable, what is not acceptable for us?
So let's use a job negotiation as an example. So if someone offers you a certain salary, and it might be lower than the salary that you had in your mind, but there might be other things that the company can offer you that are really almost more important to you than money. For example, for me, time with my family, time off, time to travel, leisure time is not more important than money, but it's really almost as important as money to me. So I can say to someone in a negotiation that I hear your offer on the salary. Let's talk about some of the benefits that go with this job. You know, time off is very important to me, and this is the number of weeks vacation I have in mind. And you can start the negotiation there. Just knowing what's important to you, it helps you identify what you are and are not willing to do. So when someone offers you a salary to do a job, you have to decide to yourself, am I willing to take that salary, or will I take that job and be miserable every single day and be angry that I didn't get more money? So if you can negotiate some other things in to that job, like time off or a better title, things that will make you feel better about accepting that contract, that's a win-win.
That's a common thing, actually. In Hollywood, we can't pay you as much as you'd like, but we'll give you a separate end credit. You won't have to share that end credit with someone else, or we'll put you up front. Your credit will be up front. It's like, okay, it's that. Is your ego involved? Is that important? Credit. You need that credit. Money's nice, though.
Kathy, so that's in Hollywood. Cindy, what about in a more corporate or small business setting?
You know, in a corporate setting, salary or title's really important because title sets you up for your next job. So negotiating for a different title, if you wanted to be a director but they don't have a director position open, can you be the associate director? Can you be the assistant director? Can you be the second director? You know, there are other titles that you can ask for, and that's a strong negotiation point. In an entrepreneurial situation, you have less to negotiate for because the margins are so small and everything is so tight. But in deciding what is and is not acceptable in an entrepreneurial situation, for example, it is not acceptable for anyone to call me at 8 at night for my work. My work is just not life-threatening. No one's going to die if they don't talk to me tonight versus tomorrow. So I don't accept business calls after 8 p.m. Eastern time, for those of you on the West Coast, because I value my time with my family. It's utterly, urgently important to me. So I, you know, just by knowing what's important to me, I'm able to set boundaries.
What would be a first step that somebody who's very uncomfortable setting boundaries, what's a first step that they could take and apply today or almost immediately after listening to this call to help them start getting comfortable and setting boundaries, like you said?
Well,
I would say write it down first so that they clarify it for themselves. Write down what you need.
Well, think of someone in your life who is constantly pushing your boundaries and, you know, kind of act out in your head and write down how you would say no to them. And again, it's going to be extremely uncomfortable. It always is to take care of yourself. But if you're planning on a business life of full of negotiations and you have lots of things coming up, start small. Clean up your own personal life first. So I always try to think of, I mean, I'm pretty clean right now, but I try to think of someone in my life who pushes my boundaries and practice how I'm going to say no and why. Because often when someone's asked me to do something, I'll say yes because I think, oh, well, I'm the only one who can do it right anyway. And that's not true. That's just not true. And also I say yes because I'm afraid they won't like me if I say no. So you have to be okay with thinking that people aren't going to like you because it's never true. Or maybe it's true a little bit, but, you know, really, maybe they weren't a good friend anyway. I don't know. What do you think, Cindy?
Kathy and I are business partners as well as friends, and we negotiate all the time in our business. For example, we write a blog every single day. We kind of micro-blog. And we've negotiated which days of the week each one of us will write those and create our queenisms. We've negotiated, you know, who will do what type of work within our business. And if our needs ever change, we call each other up and we negotiate a new understanding. And so we practice, you know, that every day. So we practice asking for what we need and then being flexible about the results. And so we're much more comfortable in the corporate world now than we ever were before because we are constantly practicing.
It's true. And just, yeah, well, I'm sorry, do you have another? Because I was just going to say, I'm perfectly happy saying no. No to anybody. No, that's not comfortable. No, that doesn't work for me. Nope, won't do that.
Well, thank you, Cindy and Kathy. And speaking of respecting boundaries, we wanted to keep our call to one to end at 12:30 or 1:30 Eastern time, so 30 minutes. Want to respect your time, and thank you so much for graciously sharing it with us. Thanks so much. We look forward to communicating with you again.
Thank you very much,
and
Whitney.
We enjoyed it. Thanks.